welcome to episode 15 of Pennies in the Well. I'm your host, Saturn, and I am the crazy Vint sitting on my friend's living room floor, her snake happily curled up and sleeping. His head came out just in time for the podcast. Now that's a sign. So yes, I'm hanging out with my coven mate, Holly.
Hi.
Yay, she says hi on command. She's very well trained. This is, and her significant other, Tyson, is, yes, the Tyson of infamous known, is in the background making weird faces at me and gasping over the things that I have said to Holly. So, yeah, they have a boa constrictor together. He's very cute. What's his name?
Stash.
And why is he called Stash?
We're not sure, but considering that when we got him, there are pot leaves as decoration, plastic ones, in the tank, that... Well, I'm sure they imbibed.
Ah, yeah. And he's come out. He was all sleepy when I got here, and he's come out to check out the podcast. So we have our first reptilian potential fan on the go. This is pretty awesome. So as I mentioned, I'm sitting on Holly's floor, not at my desk. I'm not on my bouncy ball because things have been a little strange and crazy, and you are not getting the episode that was originally planned for episode 15, which was supposed to be all about everyone's experience of deity and all of that wonderful sharing that you guys did, which is so appreciated. Thank you so much, and thank you for downloading the show, and thank you for sending comments, and thank you for all that love. Love right back at you. But that is not the episode we are having because of a variety of long involved stories, which will not be that long and involved when I tell them on episode 16, because there isn't time to do them right now, which is that lack of time leads us towards the non-standard episode. And for reasons that will become clear in a little bit is why we're doing this very special episode. Basically, I didn't have time to do a proper job with the divine episode because I really want to give time to what everyone said. And Holly, who is, and this is kind of germane to the whole thing, is Chinese. I know, the shock! Was visiting with her family last week?
Yep.
Last weekend. And they had a great discussion on ancestor worship, so we are here to pick her brains before she forgets. So it was very urgent that she and I sit down and do a podcast, and... the opposite, and well, not that it wasn't urgent, but I couldn't do justice to the other podcast. So we are doing a unexpected interruptus podcast for you tonight on ancestor worship, not on deities at all.
Oops. Well, if you think of it in a certain way, they can be sort of the same thing in a particular way.
True, but really, since people had emailed in, that wasn't kind of the point. So, unfortunately, for those of you who are eager to find out about the contest, you will not find out tonight, or when you listen to this. It'll be on the next episode, which will hopefully come out within the next 1 to 2 weeks. Again, this is just a really crazy, been a crazy couple of weeks, been a really crazy week, going to be a crazy but fabulous weekend, and another crazy week with a crazy weekend following. So, bear with me, we're getting there. So sorry. And in regards to the accidental contest from last episode, where it was me randomly singing a part of a song, and if you could figure out what it was, you got to name a topic. Well, the very, very first person who emailed in, and Holly's giggling, was Tyson. And why did Tyson email in? Because Holly was listening to the podcast and went, Tyson, what is that song?
Well, I knew he knew it.
Yeah, so he emailed in. But since he emailed in, technically he wins.
Well, yes, that was the whole point.
Yeah, so he's going to set a topic when he actually, you know, decides on one. Of course, I'm not sure if I told him that I decide how long I talk about the topic. Ha ha ha. Yes, he's in the other room, so I have to be a little sneaky on how I say that. So, that kind of intros us into the maniacal, crazy, wonderful world that we're going through at the moment. We are going to do a little Big P segment because it's kind of actually... suitable, given that I'm at Holly's place, and she'll understand. She doesn't even know about this yet. But we'll do a Big P segment first to start off, and then we'll get into the main part of the show. And, you know, we may even at some point figure out if there's going to be any music to end the show, and probably not any other breaks. So it's going to be a wacky, crazy, relatively unedited night, because I don't have time to edit it before I go away for the weekend.
Breathe.
Right. Right. See, she's really good. The breathing thing, yeah, I have to remember that. So, yeah, let's get into the Big P.
Open your mind,
your spirit,
your heart.
Soul.
Open your soul,
your heart,
your mind. Open to the world around you and change your perspective.
And now it's time for the Big P.
And for those of you who don't quite remember what the Big P stands for, no, it is not peeing like a racehorse first thing in the morning. Thank you, Tyson! But it is for perspective. So the reason that Holly being here leads us to a little Big P topic is way back in the day. Yes, she's doing this lovely hand over. You can use words, it's okay. But yes, I'm storytelling, so I will probably ramble a bit. Our coven was three girls, all brunettes, two Caucasian, one Asian.
Yep.
So, and one guy. And we're at this weekend festival. Interestingly enough, very similar to the one we're about to go to. Same site,
yes.
But different event.
Very different.
And, okay, just have to say, we are so looking forward to this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It's a total, okay, we're digressing. It is a Pirates and Fairies weekend. It's basically a big house party where everyone dresses up as pirates or fairies. Mostly pagan people, but not completely.
There's crossover.
There's definitely crossover. And, yeah, it's just crazy, wacky, fun times. And the nice part about how people end up at it is because it's a private house party in essence, you go if you're invited. And if you're, you know, a good person or basically people like you, you get invited back. And
pretty
if you're
much.
A dumbass, well,
bye-bye, dumbass.
That's right. You no come back. Ha 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 ha. And we laugh at you behind your back. But that means that it's a collection of really good people who party really well together.
Responsibly.
Very responsibly. Because, of course, there's no alcohol on site because that would be wrong. And we would never break the rules.
Never.
So we're having fun purely on the joy of life.
Yes.
Yes.
Air. And air. We laugh on air.
Oh, absolutely. Air is fabulous. So, and we have Tyson in the background making even extra funny gestures. Thank you, Tyson.
High on air.
We're high on air, yes. And this year, we have our own one cabin. We've always had to share our cabin between our coven, the people our coven sleeps with. Digression to the digression. So, for clarification, oh, yes, Holly is my coven mate. And yes, her significant other is Tyson, who's been on the show before, who is a member of Invisible House. As you know, Invisible House also has, as one of the founding and, you know, main members that you have heard of, is Sloan. Sloan happens to be married to our other coven mate, Tammy. And my boyfriend, if we shall use that word, has also, well, not circled because they don't circle, but he's...
Connections
with Invisible House and with both Sloan and Tyson, thereby making it a very strange and close-knit group of six people. It's kind of bizarre.
But we're not incestuous.
No, not even remotely. And this is where we came up with the desire for a bumper sticker that says,
Real witches,
do it
with
Thelemites. That's right. Because we do. All three of us. That's right. You can wince all you like, Mr. Tyson. It's not going to stop us. So that was the... Bumper sticker was that digression. The P&F digression, well, it's just...
Awesomeness in a weekend.
Yeah. Oh, and our cabin this year, we finally get to, because it's all to ourselves, we don't have to share with anybody else. We've named it Sneaky Hollow.
And who are we?
We are the Pyromaniacs. Yeah. The Pyromaniacs down in Sneaky Hollow. Yeah. So we're planning and plotting and getting ready and doing costumes and getting ready for the house sitter and doing other crazy things around the house. And there's very little time for doing fun things like podcasting, but we're sneaking in this episode. And would you like to say something, Tyson?
Way to maintain the Big P.
Hey, it's what I do. And if you didn't hear him, well, he said way to maintain the Big P. We're getting back to it, which is the story of us at a festival at the same site, but a different kind of festival. And amusingly, a guy comes up to the one male in our coven and he goes, hey, so I'm wondering if you could introduce me to your coven mate. And what shall we call him?
Guy number one? I don't know.
No, our coven mate, because he's no longer with our coven, so I can't use his name. He who was.
He who was.
Oh Well, it's either that or Fred.
No Fred, no.
Okay, so he who was responded with, well, which one? There's three. And the guy goes, well, the one with dark hair. Okay, says he who was. They all have dark hair. Well, the one she's got dark eyes. And he who was responds, they all have dark eyes.
We do. We all have brown eyes.
Yes, we do. And the guy stumbles along a little bit further and he kind of, shorter. And so he who was goes, do you mean the Asian girl? You mean my Asian coven mate? Because I have to say, you know, I'm pretty sure she knows that she's Asian.
Hey, I do. I really? Happen to know I'm Asian. Seriously.
You really know that?
Yeah, you know, and for people who think, you know, I could never see in a mirror ever before, you know that there's a lot of other reflective services, and eventually I would have, at one point, seen that, oh, I'm not Caucasian.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, like a pool of water?
Yeah.
Or a shiny piece of hematite.
Shiny piece. Shiny.
Shiny, shiny piece of hematite. Yeah, you would have figured
copper?
It
out. You know?
Oh, hey, yeah. That's right. Well, actually, that could have disguised the coloration maybe a little bit.
Fair
so
enough.
You'd have to go purely off the shape of the features, and maybe that was...
Yeah, enough.
So the point of the story is that we've kind of gotten so hooked up into what is politically correct, and yes, I'm air quoting, that we fail to remember that some things really are just statements of fact, and they're okay to say as statements of fact.
And me being Asian, knowing that I'm Asian, I'm okay with you identify me as Asian. Because you're not specifying and assuming I'm one particular section of Asianness.
Well, we didn't go, you're Korean. Or
exactly.
Mongolian. I actually don't know if Mongolians are considered Asian, but...
Yes-ish.
Okay, well, or Korean, or Chinese, or Japanese. I can't tell them apart, but you got that lovely label of Asian.
It works.
Yeah, and it's true.
Uh-huh.
It's not like you're saying, if you followed it with all Asians are bad drivers, well, actually most Asians will tell me that. It's kind of funny. I don't say it, because that would then be politically incorrect, but most of the Asians I know say it.
I know I say it. I know that's why I don't drive, because I actually tried, and I didn't really want to be one of the bad Asian drivers, so I promptly took myself off the road.
Yes.
Yeah.
But saying it in that context, of course, isn't that good. But when you're just trying to physically describe somebody and the easiest and most defining characteristic out of three women, and you want to pick the one that's Asian away from the two Caucasians, the fastest way to go, the Asian one. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use your bait words.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not a bad word in and of itself. So that's our little perspective moment for you, given that we're talking all things kind of Asian today. A little
well, nice. Chinese, but yes, yeah. Asian is in the big umbrella term. It's like saying someone's pagan. It's yeah. The umbrella term. You're yeah. You're allowed to use an umbrella
yeah,
term.
If you said that to a Christian, not so good. But if you said it to a Buddhist, yet not so much. But you say it to an Isatru or a Thelemite or, Wiccan, obviously, or... You know, the Druids or, you know, there's a lot of people you can say pagan and they'll go, well, yeah, it's not the most defined, you know, the only thing, but yes, I am pagan. So, there it is. Yeah. She's Asian.
Yeah. Use the word. And it's okay. I won't get offended. Remember the time we actually at that dinner party and the Asian word got used and everyone actually gasped, almost like silence and stared at me as if I'm going to be offended. And then I laughed. I think it was because you used our nickname, my nickname.
Oh, yeah, she's the little Asian demon.
Yeah, that's the nickname.
Always feed your little Asian demons. Because if you don't, that's when they turn into the demon part. Because normally they're just, you know, Asian girls, but you forget to feed them, and they turn into little Asian demons, and they become very scary and mean.
I just get a little cranky. I don't know why they always made a big deal of it, really. A little cranky.
That would be because she was on the other side of that particular claw-infested situation. And, so always feed your little Asians. It's just safer. So I'm going to take a teeny little promo break, and then we're going to come back and actually talk about ancestor worship.
Ah! Hi, I'm Saturn, host of the podcast Penny...
Oops, I guess that was supposed to be someone else's promo. Hold on.
Have you any idea why a raven is like a writing desk?
Oh, right. Not a Mad Hatter episode either. Yeah, I'm really supposed to be doing another promo, right? Okay, promo. We're picking a promo right this second.
Hello, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane.
And we're the hosts of New World Witchery, the search for American traditional witchcraft.
If you're looking for a show about magic, specifically North American folk magic, then come check us out.
Some of the subjects we'll be covering are hoodoo and root work, powwow, New Orleans-style voodoo, Appalachian granny magic, Ozark mountain magic, brujeria and curanderismo, and New England witchery.
In addition, we'll be having discussions about things like effective spellcrafting successes and failures, magic for oneself and magic for others, magical terminology, hexing, and being in or out of the broom closet.
If that sounds like the show for you, come find us at newworldwitchery.wordpress.com or find us on iTunes.
Thanks for listening.
And be well.
Welcome back to episode 15 of Pennies in the Well. I hope you enjoyed the promo for New World Witchery. And Corey and Lane, you can thank Holly for that because that was her choice. She's like, I want Corey and Lane's. I like theirs. For all the other podkin, it's not like she doesn't like yours either. It just happened to be the one that came to mind. Apologies all around, et cetera, excuses, yada, yada, blah, blah.
Things pop into my head. I usually voice them.
Give like them pop space.
Pop? No, not like popcorn. I don't know, you have butterflies. I don't know how to describe mine.
Hey, they haven't heard about the butterflies yet.
Now they have!
Haha, but no story! And I'm going to go talk about ancestors! I am in control of the podcast, remember? I am in control! She poked me.
It stopped!
It's true, it did work. So, before we get into Holly and her family's history and knowledge, etc., 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 about Chinese ancestor worship, I do want to say a few things about ancestor workings in worship from the more standard pagan, particularly Wiccan point of view, which from a classic Wiccan point of view, considering classic goes back to, you know, 1950 something.
Hey, they go back to the 50s.
Yes, because we're talking, you know, modern Wicca, which born gardener, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In that practice, there is no ancestor worship.
No, there really wasn't.
You know, I've seen it start to crop up in particular groups in their active workings, and we started it actually, well, I'll get into how we got into it in a minute. But as a rule, there's nothing in it in Wicca books or courses. It's just not something that is, it's not even that it is considered frowned upon or not done. It's just not there. It's not present. There's no awareness.
Except for Samhain, when they would have the, sometimes a dumb supper, or sometimes they would invite the ancestor to eat with them. But that's the only thing that actually got taught.
True. Yeah, very true. And it's different in other pagan groups. Like, certainly the Norse have a strong respect for kin and involvement with kin. How strongly that ties into ancestors, I'm not as clear on. I didn't spend as much time studying that area. But my coven studied, took an ADF 101 course, or a Druidry 101 course with the ADF style, which is the style from Isaac Bonowitz, and it stands for something really unpronounceable in Gaelic that translates to a druidic fellowship.
Pretty much.
Wow, I actually remembered that.
You do remember things.
It's really shocking. You guys have no idea. She does, and I probably shouldn't let her near the microphone, for all my secrets will come out. She knows I can edit, though. Ha! Yeah, I know I won't. I don't have time to edit, so this is going to go out pretty much live. So she's really hoping not to and I'm really hoping not to get too lost and confused. So, and now we're fishing for our thoughts. Oh God, we're screwed. No, wait, we're not screwed. You're not screwed.
Screwed.
We're very sorry for all the digressions and the confusions and the loss, etc. So for pagan practice, in the druidic practice, what they do is worship, or at least ADF version, worship and work with nature spirits, ancestors, and deities. So all three groups. And you could arguably say that Wiccans do work with, we certainly work with the elements. We don't necessarily work with nature spirits. That's a topic for another day. And how Wiccans could really bring in ancestor worship into their practice is a topic for another day. because I am going to talk about that much more specifically, but I wanted to kind of give that little hint of background about pagan practice and ancestor worship, that it is there in pieces of it and not in other pieces. But it is something that personally I found a great deal of worth in. And not just in, it's important to remember that ancestors are not just of your blood and bones, especially for the poor people who are adopted. And then do you go with your adopted family as your ancestors, or is it your blood? And if it's your blood, well, then you're kind of screwed if you can't figure out who your ancestors were. But the fact is, it's also ancestors, it can be ancestors of
faith.
Thank you. I was going with spirituality, but faith is a good way to put it. So we often, or these days anyways, work with what we call the ancestors of witch, where witch would have a very big W at the front of it. Oh, if you could just see all the hand symbols come in my direction in the way. Yeah, okay.
I'm being supportive, giving you visual guides.
Yes, because I don't know what my letter W looks like without a visual guide.
Just in case you forgot, I don't know.
Oh yeah, poor me, I know. Ditzy girl. So you can work, you know, Gerald Gardner, Alex Sanders. Actually, I was just listening to the latest Wiggly and Way episode today, where Mojo was interviewing a gentleman whose name was Jamal and then a whole bunch of letters for the last name, who channeled Alex Sanders and wrote several books about it. So that would be a case where he's working with, you could say, one of the ancestors for Wicca, because we actually are getting old enough now that, you know, the early founders are starting to pass on, making them, you know, ancestors of our spiritual line.
Correct.
Yes. So that's kind of the brief overshot. Hey, that's what ancestors are from a pagan perspective. And now we're actually going to get into the more funky stuff, which is ancestor worship from the Chinese perspective. And why is this funky? Because these people know how to do it. They have been doing it for I do not even know how many thousands of years, but it's a really large component, I believe, of Chinese practice. Take it away, Holly!
I have to preface it by saying what I'm going to talk about is just what my family has discussed with me and what I've seen and what I've done, and not necessarily encompassing every single Chinese person in this world.
You mean you don't speak for everybody?
No, I really don't.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And you don't do exactly what every other Chinese person does because you're cookie cutters of each other?
Gasp. No, we don't. We come in different shapes and sizes and practices.
You mean just because you all have the same hair color and eye color, if you exclude the dyeing and the graying, that you're not all exactly the same?
No! We're all like everyone else. We're all unique.
And you can't all wear the freaky 00 sizes that are found in certain Chinese malls?
Sorry. I don't shop in those malls for
a reason. We have a large Asian population locally, and there's at least one mall where I don't buy clothes because I'm not that small. They're teeny. They're wee, and their clothes are, you go there to buy a large, which would normally, you know, okay, large, most times is going to fit me. Not even a hope. It's like putting on a small. It's crazy.
Hey, I don't fit those clothes either. So I'm with you. I understand.
Yeah, because you don't all come in the same size.
There you go.
So you're going to give us your family size of ancestor worship.
Right. And if someone needs a different way of thinking about it, it's like, you know, Christmas tradition or Yule tradition or winter solstice tradition, however you want to call it. Everybody
the fact
have...
that there's three names for it right there says...
Exactly. And people would do different things. I know one family, they always put up their Christmas village. And don't tell me that everybody does that. So it's same idea that, you know, there's certain
commonalities,
things you do. Commonalities.
Yeah.
And very different practices. So I would start with what I remember as a kid. I remember my grandma would, there's these altars in her apartment, and she would do her thing every day.
So what are these altars like?
Hard to describe. It's usually built out of wood, and they usually paint it red, and the sizes are based on however the desire of the person who actually started it. And I actually talked to my parents and asked, well, how do you know what to do? Like, what do you put in it? And they reply, well, you go to one of those stores that does that that's what they sell. They would ask you what you want, and they usually go, okay, well, this is probably what you need, and this is how big you need it to fit all the statuaries. And
oh, so it's like, that's what goes into it, is statuaries?
Statuaries, incense burner, little offering dishes and offering cups for the wine, and any candles, if you want to put in candles. So really, it's customizable. But you're relying on that merchant knowing what they're doing to set this up for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't set it up yourself.
Well, you don't necessarily know exactly how to set it up. Because it's not like we get taught.
Oh.
It's not... It's a lot of times, it's, you know, you might have seen your parents do it. So you kind of remember this is what they had. So I think I'll go with that because that's what I know. And sometimes you might start deciding, okay, I really want to do this as a practice, but you actually don't know what to do. So then you go to the store owner, and hopefully they actually know what they're doing and not gouging you for it. And they usually do write a couple of not kind of blessing phrases.
Yep.
That's the best way I can think of. And it'll be like, you know, hand-painted onto this piece of redwood, and then you tack it on, and you upkeep it. And my
your grandmother.
My grandma had one that is in the living room. That one is the gods. So they have a couple of statuaries, and I honestly can't translate it properly because I know how to say in Cantonese.
Well, you never know. There could be someone in Cantonese who's listening or knows on Cantonese.
Okay, so she had Foot Look Sao, which is three different figure that means like good fortune, longevity, and good luck. I think that's kind of a loose translation.
Now, is this separate from the ancestor altar, or is this part of the ancestor altar?
Well, it's part of the practice, because okay. You see, it's not just one altar. There's three.
Woohoo! My kind of girl.
So the God altar is the one that you would go to every morning first. That's first you do, and then... because they're the gods. And she also had a Guanyin, which is the goddess of mercy. Hmm. And she also...
Is that the one that we always butcher pronounce, Kuan Yin?
Well, Kuan Yin would be the Mandarin pronunciation, which is not exactly wrong. The Mandarin pronunciation gives you a lot more room because they actually have a phonetic system, whereas Cantonese doesn't have a phonetic system.
And that's going to a place that I'm not prepared to go to.
And so we'll come back to what we're talking about.
But it is the same goddess.
Yes.
Okay.
And, oh, as an aside, that it's a personal peeve. When people are adapting their deities into their Wiccan practice, you know, there's a symbolic rite, right? There's some deities you really shouldn't do that with. Guanyin would be one of them, in my opinion.
No sex with Guanyin?
No, she was a virgin goddess. And at one point she wasn't female, she was male. And it kind of, again, it's just totally
so this digression. Isn't virgin in that whole, you know... ownership of their own property, because there's that definition of virgin as opposed to
or the childless one, the one where they would never borrow a child, so they were technically virgins.
Yeah,
no, not that one.
She's never been penetrated,
really, and it doesn't quite work with her nature anyway, so it gives
just
me a
don't.
Little twitchy. Please,
yeah, okay,
if you're gonna do it, please don't let me see it.
Or really, really think if that's the right thing to be doing,
please. Anyways. Yes. So she had her deity altar, for lack of a better word, but it's the way they see that is more like the overall spirit. Hmm. So more like the higher spirit, the, you know, some people call it Sophia, instead of the very specific deity.
Yeah.
And then you had the little altar that you put right at your front door, which is interesting because in the Greek practice they would have a hearn.
Right.
Whereas the Chinese practice, if you go that way, it's a little altar that has for the gods of the land and all the energy of the occupants beforehand. And so it's actually kind of like a land spirit.
Interesting.
Yeah. I actually didn't know that until I talked to my parents. You see, when you're a kid, you ask what's that for or why that's happening. They don't tell you. They say, oh, shush, don't ask. Usually you're pointing and it's like, you know, asked at the wrong moment. And so you never get to find out these things until you ask as an adult.
You're an adult now.
I know.
It's a miracle.
It's official.
We prayed. We called out to the gods. Please make her an adult.
Yeah, but maturity is still low.
That was part of the thing. I'd be screwed.
Anyways, so you have the one that's at the threshold.
Yeah, and you said it's a small one.
It's a small one.
So is there stuff in this one?
Yeah, there's a little bit of saying, and I mean...
A little bit of saying?
There's a phrase. There's a...
Oh, a saying. Okay.
Plaque saying thing.
I heard sing and went, what? It sings on its own.
No, no, it doesn't. and honestly, I don't remember what's written on it. I don't remember a lot of what's written on any of these, because I also didn't get to look at it too closely. Just because as a kid, you don't...
Oh my God, you might knock it over.
Exactly. You really don't want to do that. And there's a third one, which I remember, but I never thought about it. It's in the kitchen. It's for the spirits of the kitchen.
Ah.
So, you know, you want your food to be good and healthy and you know, don't die. Because we live in a tropical place and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, food spoilage, that sort of thing. You know, good blessing for everything.
So then where'd the ancestors end up in all of that?
Well... You see, they're all kind of ancestor, because the land spirit is basically the people who came before you in that spot, in that occupied space.
Oh, so, interesting. Not ancestors by blood, but ancestors by location.
Yeah, and the kitchen would be closer to maybe your blood ancestor, or however the general ancestor of the people.
Well, actually, right? In some ways that makes sense, because your food is so... culturally driven and family driven, right? You cook what your parents cooked, who's cooked what their parents cooked, and that's determined. I mean, that's why we have Asian cooking, Chinese cooking, Korean cooking, French cooking, English cooking,
Italian cooking,
Greek food,
nom,
sushi.
That's Japanese.
I know, but it deserved to be said on its own. Sushi.
Yeah, and food.
Anyway, but it's important. It's very cultural, and it's so very family driven.
Exactly, and there are festivals that one of the key thing is to make sure that everybody gathers to have a big family dinner together. So it makes sense that there's an altar in the kitchen, and that leads into ancestor worship. Now, why did I mention the god or deity altar? Is that you do that first because you have to. Pay your worship to the sky before the land. It's one of the phrases my dad said, and I thought, oh, okay, that sort of makes sense, because there's always the greater.
Yeah.
And then you do that and pay respect to that first, and then you do the lesser.
Which I think is a good lesson, actually, if you think about it, for all of us.
Hmm.
Because you always need both perspectives. You need that really broad perspective and to center yourself within the greater scope, but you have to live within the world that you live in.
Macrocosm, microcosm.
Yeah, and if you can balance both those perspectives, it actually makes the day-to-day living easier, because you see your big perspective, but you don't get lost in your big perspective, and you can keep on living. Anyhow, I digress.
Yes, you do.
Frequently. And with style.
Silly at work goes to Saturn Dark Hope. Anyways... Okay, so then that's what she does as a daily thing.
Deities first, and would it always be all three altars in the morning, or?
I believe the proper way is that each of the incense you have, incenser that you have, you would put one or three, depending on which you want to go. Traditionally, I think it's more three, but my grandma just did one because she thought there's way too much smoke in the apartment. One is good enough.
Well, if you're doing it for each altar,
mm-hmm.
That would be nine.
Yes.
That's a lot of incense.
That is.
And you're from Hong Kong. And the rooms were small.
Yes.
God. Sorry, I agree with your grandmother on this one.
Yeah, my grandma was very practical. So there you go. And what she also does is maintain it. So she cleans it, dusts it, and there's the offering dish that tend to have fruit.
Mm.
And this is where people can have different things, where some people might put offerings of other stuff like meat. Some people who are vegetarian, then they don't. Some people just go, well, the deities I work with or pay respect to don't really need meat one way or the other. Then, okay, well, the fruits will be good. And they believe in, you give the offering, you leave it on the plate for a day or two, whatever. Give them time to actually appreciate it and have at it, as it were. And actually, in that process, because their presence passed through it, it blessed the food. And then you go and eat the food, because you don't want to waste food.
God, you guys are so practical.
Well, yes, because if you do this every day, can you imagine how much food you're wasting?
I like that. That's a nice image, though, that they pass through it and bless it.
In the wake, yeah.
Yeah. But it would also be kind of something almost agreed upon between you and the ancestors and the deities, that this is how you're going to interact with your offerings.
Yeah, for the food part. And then you have the consumables, which are candles and incense. Because there is a kind of way of thought that incense and candles that's being burned actually get consumed by the spirits. Mm. So there's the consumables, and there's the ones that, okay, we'll share that.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's very practical. Seriously, you don't waste food. That's just daft. Anyways, so that's what she does daily. And there are certain festivals in the year that she would burn little paper bullion. I need to give more description. Basically, you would buy these paper from the store, and it's like a kind of really thin yellowish paper. And on one edge, there is metallic foil. So they actually have silver foil and gold foil, so like real silver or gold. And then she would fold it so that it looks like a bullion. Have you seen a bullion? It's kind of like this shaped.
She's doing this weird, it's a V heart-shaped thingy.
Yeah, I can only describe it in that I've seen it in the old Chinese, you know, TV dramas.
When you say bullion, I'm thinking like beef bullion cubes.
No, like the gold bullions, like the little nuggets, except they shape it in a particular shape because Chinese people did that back in the day. That,
yeah, see, for me, gold bullion...
Little bars.
Thinks bars.
Yeah. No, it's there's a particular shape. So she would fold it so it looks sort of like that shape. Huh. And there's the whole idea that when you put something in the fire, it get burned and get transformed into the spirit world, into objects. This is why you can actually buy those like paper cards and paper servants. They're actually burning it for the ancestor to have servants and cards in their afterlife.
Oh, not so that you get them. They don't remanifest down. This is so they go up and get
give it to your ancestors or your
without family. Having to actually bury the concubine with them. They can
bury a paper concubine. Isn't that awesome?
Practical.
See,
so practical.
Yeah, this is if you go to a Chinese store in Chinatown or something, you see those. That's what they're for.
Aw, anyway, Grandma, you never drove in life, but have a car in your afterlife.
You joke about that. My friend did that for her mom when she passed away, and this is a coworker. And she actually had a dream just around the time when the spirit's supposed to come back to visit. She actually had a dream about her mom driving, and she never drove in life.
Makes you wonder if she gets into accidents in the afterlife. I'm sorry.
It's different in the afterlife, or imagine. There's less traffic jam. Anyways.
I'm so bad.
That's okay. That's all right. Where are we talking about
the
now?
Hate mail can be sent to penniesinthewell@gmail.com. Slam me at penniesinthewell@gmail.com. All of the anti-bigotry and anti-racist mail can go to penniesinthewell@gmail.com. So your grandmother was making offerings to the three things and would light the incense every morning.
And every night.
And every night, okay.
That's a daily thing. Unless
and the food was daily.
Yeah, the food is maintained. So... You know, if you're going to get new oranges and apples, then you have the ones that's been there for maybe a week, so then you swap it out.
Or if you have those weird little wannabe pumpkin things that last for 3 months, you could go longer.
I don't think we had those. I'm pretty sure we didn't have those.
All right.
You maybe think about gourds, but gourds doesn't get bought that way, so it doesn't really work that way. Anyway, so now I don't remember when she's done it. I just know she have done it where it's, I think it's a particular festival where she wanted to give extra respect. And so she wanted to give more offering. And so she fold those paper into the bullion shape and she burns it. And
apparently you need money in the afterlife.
Who doesn't need money, I suppose. You all have to.
Coin of the realm.
Hey, there you go. So that's kind of the general practice that she's done. Now, there's also what my grandparents did as their spirituality, because they were Taoist. Now, funny enough, they were actually at a temple. It's the best word I can come up with. It's not temple that you would think like, you know, Grecian or...
Yeah.
Or, but it's a... For all intents and purposes, it's a temple. And it's actually... a almost like a Unitarian church type. It's actually a combination of five different ones, which I had no idea until I talked to my parents about this. I just knew that my grandpa was and my grandma was Taoist. So there was the Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, and I'm going blank. I can't remember the fifth one. There was a fifth one. Confucianism. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, odd enough, it's apparently developed into a religion rather than just a philosophy. Anyways, so
what are your parents?
My parents technically is Taoist.
Okay.
And in that temple, they have these. Everybody come together for these services, for the lack of a better word. And I have, you know, great memory of being a kid, and my grandma decided to bring me in. And that's a rare thing, because they don't really want kid to disturb. So for the fact that I was, what, like 7 or 8, and she actually, no, she'll be fine, because, you know, she's usually good. I'm usually quiet as a kid, you know, seen but not heard. That was me.
I could see that, actually.
Yeah.
It went away.
Yes. Eventually. Take some partying and, you know, give me a little tequila.
Tequila!
Here goes all the digressions. Anyways.
Hey, I'm not the one having to do all the talking. This is fun. She stuck her tongue out at me.
I've done that plenty of times. I've done worse.
Yes, but now I can blame you in front of, you know, many, many, many people.
Sure.
Anyways, my fault.
She actually got me in there, and that was actually my first memory of being in trance. Actually stood there. She's like, okay, well, put your hand, and she basically have it so that I'm cupping my left hand underneath my right hand, and she was saying that means that you're ready to receive knowledge. So it's an interesting little mudra. And
for those who don't know, mudra is hand positions.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Technical translations.
Yeah, awesome. Sometimes my digressions are actually practical.
Okay. Anyways, I would stand in that mudra and just stand there because she told me to stand. And then next thing I know, she's like, oh, we need to do this now. And everyone has already left, and the whole thing has been finished, and I don't remember.
Oh, you missed it.
I know, I missed it. But that's the first memory of me actually going to trance. So that actually helped later on to kind of meditate and stuff. It's like, you know, I've done this before. I can do this again. Damn it. Give you fuel to actually keep on going. So in that, there's a lot more worship there for ancestor, because they have the ancestor of the faith. Which is basically the guy who, okay, I don't know his name and I don't know how to translate it. I kind of know it.
So just call it?
The guy. The guy who started.
Well, what would be the Chinese?
Lo Ji Zhong.
Okay. No, it's interesting to do that, and there may be people who actually understand.
Basically he was the one who had the inspiration for the Taoist movement, as it were. One of the one who got attributed to. Who actually is spreading that.
Okay, so he's the ancestor of the Taoism in a weird way.
In a weird way, yeah.
Okay.
And then you can actually pick
Daryl Gardner.
Yes.
Okay.
So you were right. I was agreeing with you when you said that you do have ancestor of your spirituality.
Absolutely. I actually knew you were agreeing with me.
Well, yes, but the listener didn't know. I didn't say anything then, so now they know.
My little 10-watt light bulb went on, and I mean old-fashioned 10-watt. I don't mean modern 10-watt.
Dripping!
Oh! Oh!
If you want the story, you can email me.
They don't have your email address. I'm blocking the microphone! I'm blocking the microphone!
Anyways. Are you gonna cut that?
No.
Oh my god. Anyways. So you actually have more practices there, and some brief memory I have is that they would have someone who's actually in a trance themselves, and they would be writing in sand with a stick, and someone next to him would be transcribing the words that they're seeing in the sand that he's writing, and that's usually kind of messages to give to people or things that they might need to do. Isn't that crazy? And I've only kind of seen it like from far away, because it's all up in the front and I'm standing in the back.
Right.
And little things here and there about, you know, just paying respect, acknowledging the ancestor, and little things, you know, it's remembering that you have your ancestor. Sometimes this is actually more common, like when people before an exam, they would go and, you know, go to the temple and give extra incense to the ancestor and praying to them, saying that, please help me do well in school. You know, ideally you do this over the course of a year, not just when you need something.
Yeah, which actually was my next question, is what is the relationship like? Like, is it I give you things, I hope for things back? Is it just kind of memory? Is it
It's a little bit of everything, and it really depends on the people actually doing it. There are people who just, I need something, I'm going to go and do this practice, which is more superstition than really a worship practice.
Yeah, because I was going to say, otherwise, that doesn't sound like honoring your ancestors.
No, that's just, you know, like, that's, it's like asking your parent for money all the time. I need more money, Mom and Dad. Can I get money, please?
I'm out of food. Can you do my laundry?
Yeah, not so good. Yeah. Not a good way to develop a relationship. There are also the ones who go all the way the other spectrum, where they do their practice every day and every night and on occasion ask for things. But that's more of, you know, please, I'm worried about this. It's more like, you know, health issue and I'm worried about this other loved one of mine. You know, can you spare the time to watch over them, that sort of thing. And then you have the people in the middle. And then you have the people who only do it when there's some festival that seems to apply, because there is actually, I had to ask my dad about this one, there's actually 24 festivals.
Wow. And
not all of them necessarily get observed. One of the ones that's actually coming up is Mid-Autumn Festival, which has to do with moon,
the harvest moon and the mooncakes.
Love mooncakes. I actually just got some.
And Tyson's making Nami mouth eating.
He loves mooncakes. It's really cute.
He is Caucasian. Let's just clarify that. That look, it made sense based upon everything that you didn't hear.
Yeah, we all went over this earlier.
Yeah, and sadly we're not cutting that either. We're very sorry. If there was time for cutting, you'd get a mildly more coherent podcast. Mildly.
This is actually going pretty much to how our normal conversations go. This is getting a snippet of how it is to interact.
No, I think we're both being slightly better behaved.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you're really working on staying on topic, which I appreciate.
Hey, I usually the one who remind you, what were we talking about that?
I'll get back eventually.
Eventually.
Speaking of which.
so the festivals, and there's actually two particular ones that are really related to ancestor worship. They both involve, the plant just tried to attack Tyson, so I got really distracted. Anyways.
See, I have cats, she has a Tyson.
Yeah, and a snake.
Same effect. The snake doesn't distract you.
It is if it was trying to go into the same plant that he just tried to attack Tyson.
If the snake, and let's just point out, it's a year and a half old and over 5 feet long, snake was wandering around, we'd be having much more distractions than just the snake in the plant.
Anyways, the two festivals.
The Harvest Festival coming up, Autumn
Festival. It's one of the 24. Mid-autumn. Yeah, one of the 24.
Which, given there's only 52 weeks in the year and half of that's 26, it's like every other week there's a festival, practically.
Some of them get really close together.
I know, but if you averaged them out, that's like almost every other week.
What can we say? We like our festivals.
They're even better than the Wiccans. Please note.
Hey, don't. I love the fact that I get many, many New Year's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm glad that you're around because I get an extra one.
Anyways, the two festivals I'm having this topic on is that you actually go to the cemetery where your ancestors are buried. So hopefully you actually know where they are. Sometimes you don't. And you would go and clean the tombstone or whatever placement you have for them and give extra offering, say hi, and then kind of hang out with them. And it's technically something that people do. Now, you don't have to do it. It's like you don't have to observe Easter. But if you like a cunt, you might actually go and do it.
So when Mid-Autumn Festival is one, when's the other one?
Okay, well, they are not really set in stone of when.
Yes.
One of the earlier ones.
Considering the Chinese New Year thing and figuring out exactly when that falls has always kind of boggled my head.
Well, it's like the farmer's almanac or astrology. You don't have to know how to calculate. You just know that someone can calculate for you and you can actually get the chart or the almanac to actually look it up.
But is there a rough general kind of month?
Usually, funny enough, the first one that you would go to the cemetery is close to Easter. Okay. It actually is around springtime. And then the other one is closer to Thanksgiving, Canadian camp Thanksgiving-ish.
Which is early October.
Instead of November. Or...
Yeah, instead of November, yes.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, you did. We're just having ourselves a moment there as we realized that non-Canadians are listening to this too, and I have no idea when Thanksgiving is in Australia.
I don't know. Do they even celebrate Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Well, that's something that people, and I know that there's lovely people over in Australia.
Tell
us. You've emailed me, and it's always good to hear from you, so feel free to email us and inform us of the wonders of Thanksgiving or not in Australia.
Things
it's really fascinating. When you start really actually thinking outside of, oh, it's another perspective, another big P is thinking outside of your little own
world.
Anyways.
That one's, near Thanksgiving, and I actually try to figure out how it's calculated, and it is actually the solar cycle, but I don't know how they calculate it. I just know, like, certain things, like the Chinese New Year is actually the Lunar New Year.
Right.
That's one thing I know, and I know when the Mid-Autumn Festival is, because that date's actually set in the lunar calendar on the August 15th of the lunar calendar. So,
which is a different August 15th than the rest of the calendar?
Yes, it is very different.
So please note, it is not actually on August 15th for those of us who live in a normal world. For those of you who live in a lunar world, notice a lunar world, lunatic, kind of close. There's a reason there were two words.
We blame the Greeks for that one.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways.
They don't even take responsibility for it. They blame the Greeks. Wow.
You guys call it lunatic and luna. I'm just using your vocab. English isn't my first language, damn it.
And thank God we have a explicit rating. Because she can say, damn it, and it's okay.
Anyways.
I suddenly had the urge to swear really harshly like a trucker.
Oh, and there's certain phrases that you've come up with that...
Well, not me. I inherited from other people that are just nasty. Yeah. We're not going to go there.
The lunar calendar, it happens... you know, in concurrent with the solar calendar.
One would hope, otherwise we can't have two actually different years.
No. And which is really funny because my grandma went with the lunar calendar for her birthday. Try to figure that one out every year.
Ow.
Well, you actually can buy a lunar calendar, especially for us who are Chinese. You would make a calendar that actually gives you the solar day and then the lunar day underneath.
Oh.
So it is possible.
But dear God. Okay, so Mid-Autumn Festival, I know you know when the date is, because that's when your mooncakes come out, too.
Yeah, the mooncakes already came out. It comes out early.
Hallelujah. It's like Halloween candy. It just comes out earlier every year, probably.
It's going to be September 22nd. Oh, I need to look it up.
Fail! Hey. Chinese fail!
Hey, it's not like there's a Chinese card you can take away from me. Darn it.
If there's a witch card, there's a Chinese card. There's definitely a man card, which you don't have, thank God. So... we digress, and we're coming back to the Mid-Autumn Festival.
And that one is less interest in worship and more celebrating with your family. Because usually they encourage you to observe the beautiful full moon.
Well, it's like with your family. Ancestors before they've keeled over.
Yes. We actually pay attention to that as well. Right. We try to.
Family and kin.
Yeah. Well, and you know, even just with our language... Our name, our family name is always first, where you,
right.
Western, they have it as the last name.
I so went geeky Trekkie there for a second.
Why?
Ro-Laren, because her first name was Laren, and her last name was Ro, but it was flipped because she is from that stupid planet.
Bajoran?
Yeah, she's Bajoran.
Oh man, I just, that
and
was geek.
You knew the name of the place, proving that you're geeky with the name.
Yeah, that's because I was learning English watching The Next Generation.
And it's an excuse, and she's sticking with it.
Darn right.
Now, I do have a question.
Sure.
I'm wondering if there's any... El Día de Muertos, when the Spanish practice, or the Latin American practice, or wherever the heck they practice it, all I know is that it's a Spanish phrase, so we're going with that. They go to the cemeteries, and... or is it they walk back home leaving a trail? Was it, I think, to invite the ancestors to come visit them? Or is it to show them the way home again? Anyhow, that there is this connection between your home and the resting place of your ancestors. Is there anything like that?
I don't think so, from what
so
we
really
practice.
Just go to the cemetery, it all happens there, and it's separate from home.
Yeah, there's the additional practice that you can do where you go, make sure you go on their birthday and their death date. My mom does this with her parents. And she would go and make sure she would bring their favorite food with them and when she can. And, you know, sit with them and share the food with them and eat with them.
I actually really like the way you said death date so easily and casually.
everybody who's passed away has one, so why not?
But it's not used in at least the
general...
The world I live in. Mm. The society, the culture I live in.
Right.
I mean, North American culture is absolutely terrified of death on so many levels. And you never hear people talk about their death date. They talk about the day the person died, but they don't automatically go, there's a birth date and a death date. I loved it. It's fabulous. And it makes perfect sense. And it's just very practical. It's just, I've never actually heard that before.
Practicality is a strong thing in the culture, I believe. It's one of the things we grew up with, that you have to be practical. It's just something you do. Because think about how many people are living in a small space. You become very practical about a lot of things.
I believe that.
It's necessary.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so those were the two major festivals.
That has to do with ancestor worship in particular. And the other festivals, I mean, I don't know all of them, just because there's a lot. And not all of them necessarily get observed. Like, there is one where they have the day that say that it's going to be really hot. It's going to be, like, the hottest day in the summer. It's, like, how they predict it. Like, it's just, with the trend, this should be the hottest day in the summer. And then you have one that's, like, the leading up to it is the little heat day. And we don't usually pay attention to it except to go, oh, yeah, it really is hot that day. There was the two that had to do with winter, when it's the little winter, and then it's, like, the really cold day. And that day, usually, my mom would boil soup to, you know, warm you up. And a lot of family dinner. If you actually observe a lot of this stuff, it's mostly get your family together and have dinner together. Not really. Yeah. So that's kind of it that I can think of off the top of my head. I can talk about what I do personally that might be slightly different.
Intriguing, though we are actually at an hour.
No way!
Yeah, way!
Wow.
I know.
That's crazy.
Well, do you want to talk about it for a bit, or do you want to do it on another day?
It's up to you. It's your show.
Damn, thrown back in my face. I'm a Pisces. Oh, yes. By the way, I'm a Pisces. I have really poor decision-making skills.
Am I allowed back? I don't know. I'm like, you know.
Oh, you're totally allowed back. She was all bitchy and grumpy because Tyson was on the show twice.
I'm chopped liver.
See what I have to work with? Why don't you come back when I'm talking ancestors from the pagan point of view?
Sure.
All right, then. And we'll keep this discreet onto the whole...
general.
The Chinese ancestral worship thing. So that's about covers it?
I think so.
All right. Well, then I guess for the sake of their sanity, because ours is so long gone, we'll be closing out the show. What are those final reminders? Well, the classic ones, you know, where you can find me. The show's on penniesinthewell.com. Obviously, you can email all those racist hatred comments to penniesinthewell@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, both the show as a group, because that way it's easier to have conversations, so I did it that way. Or as a person, I'm also findable on Facebook. I'm retrying Twitter, but Twitter and I don't get along on a deep, fundamental, philosophical level.
I think it's too close to Twitch. Makes you twitchy.
It does. It does. So you could find me there, and maybe that would encourage me to do it more, but don't kind of hold your breath for that one. Vote for your favorite podcast on Podcast Alley. I'm also found on Podbean and iTunes and all that crazy stuff. And mostly I just want to thank you for downloading the show and listening, and I hope you have enjoyed the rather crazy walk that we've taken today.
Discombobulated.
Ooh, I like discombobulated. It's a good thing.
Bobblehead.
Bob. And before we lose our sanity absolutely completely, just a final... I think I figured out the music we're going to play. In honor of our coming weekend of pretending to be pirates and fairies, we're going to play the Parnassus classic, Oh Shit, It's the Fairies. So we're going to play that song for you on the way out. I hope you enjoy, and blessings of the deep and wild to you. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Under the starlight, the shadows are shifting. If you look to the corner in the blink of an eye, they'll appear in their ceilidh, dancing and whirling. If they knew you were watching, they'd quick disappear. It's the fae folk, the fairies, they twirl in the moonlight. Laughter and dancing, entrancing you in. Dance with me, fairies, come join in their laughter. Whirling and spinning is drawing you near. In the center you see her on a throne trimmed with garland. She's Morgana, their queen, and she's leading their songs. Her robes shine like rainbows, her hair's filled with jewels. But hush, now she sees you and sounds the alarm. It's the fae folk, the fairies, they twirl in the moonlight. Laughter and dancing entrancing you in. Dance with me, fairies, come join in their laughter. Whirling and spinning is drawing you near. The sky fills with firelight and their shrieks are of anger. They've taken to flight and they're heading your way. You run like a stag, but they're nipping your heels. Then you fall and pass out and they drag you away. It's the fae folk, the fairies, they twirl in the moonlight. Laughter and dancing entrancing you in. Dance with me, fairies, come join in their laughter. Whirling and spinning is drawing you near. You awake in a meadow to sunrise and birdsong. Your body is tingling with pain from the fall. Your clothes are on backwards, you're feeling the fool. But in the forest, the wind sounds a bit like a song. It's the fae folk, the fairies, they twirl in the moonlight. Laughter and dancing entrancing you in. Dance with me, fairies, come join in their laughter. Whirling and spinning is drawing you near. Yes, in the forest, the wind sounds a bit like a song.